So I just love the words before we get into this morning's message. The song that the kids team did this morning, it's a song from Brendan and Kathy Clancy, and they wrote it for some summit. I can't remember what it was. I didn't write it down, but some leadership conference or something a number of years ago. And A is for all you've done for me. R is I really do believe. I inside where you breathe. S, the sun who set me free. E is for everything you are. Let God arise. And I was looking at it during the week and thinking about it and was almost going to wrap that up into a message this morning, and I didn't, but I still got it written at the top of my notes, and so it's the first thing I saw when I opened it up. And you know, I just really think that it does encapsulate what we're doing. It does wrap it up so well that Jesus is everything. You know, we were here a couple of days ago, a lot of us, and some of you have come from other places visiting with family and friends, and so you may have been at another Good Friday service. If not, that's fine. But it's like we came, and it's kind of one of those interesting, I kind of still just struggle every Good Friday to reconcile in my head whether to be happy or sad, whether to be like excited, like you rock up to an Easter Sunday service and everybody's walking in the door, happy Easter, happy Easter, happy Easter. You walk in Good Friday and it's like, happy Easter. It is happy Easter because we know the end result, but to go back and go live at the time, the disciples, they weren't happy. Jesus' followers, they weren't happy. They were messed up. They were going, well, what is going on? Not understanding, not comprehending what had just happened. He's our Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the one he's God's Son. He's said that to us. We've got that revelation. What's going on? And they're just in this storm on the inside of their heads, I'm sure, just going, what the? And so it's kind of one of those, I don't know, it might just be me in my messed up mind, which we've worked out over the years that my mind is very messed up. I know that. But and you guys have told me that at various times as well, which thank you for that. Just reassuring me in that, which is good. But it's that tension between sad because Jesus died. Even sadder, he had to die for me. He had to die for you. But happy and full of joy because we know that today, 3 days later, he rose again. We know the end result. It's like kind of watching a sporting match. And you can watch it at the time and it's tense. And there's tension in the room and some people cope with that, some people don't. If it's a tight Crows game, then quite often Emma will just get up and walk out and I'll be left there. If it's just the two of us watching it on the couch by myself because I'm shaking the couch and I'm, come on, and I start talking to myself while at the TV and telling players what I think and umpires what I think, and Emma's just like, right, I'm out, see you later. And I kind of, there's this tension. But if you watch the game after the fact, it's kind of pointless. It's like if you already know the result. I already know that we won in a nail biter. I already know that we killed him. So it's like, well, I'll just come on and I'll watch the highlights. I'll watch all the goals or something. But there's that tension when you're living in the moment as opposed to when you're looking back after the fact. And so I just find Easter's just got that little bit of... But to put ourselves into their shoes. Of, you know, when you look back at something, even just thinking about Riley swallowing a screw, of all things. Little fun fact, his screw was about 2 centimetres long. The doctors at the Women's and Children's went, not worried, it's under 6 centimetres. So there you go. If your kid swallows a screw, a nail or a pin and it's under 6 centimetres, go and get it checked out because they just want to make sure that it has got through the stomach. But otherwise, they don't care. See you later. On your way, it'll pass in a couple of days, which it did. Thankfully, I was at work at the time, so it was even better. But it's like they're not worried. It's like 6 centimeters. That's a long thing to work its way through a kid's butt nut. It all works out. So anyway, that's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But I was going somewhere with that. Where was I going with that? Tension. At the time. And so what was happening was that I was sitting on the couch watching a game of football, and Riley was playing in his room, and he came out with a screw that he had pulled out of his train set. And so he comes out, I'm sitting on the couch, and Emma and Mason were up the other end of the house, and so Riley's walked out and just put it in my mouth while I was watching the football. And I went, that's a bit cold, that's, yep, okay, that's a screw. No, Riley, we don't play with screws, need to put that back, gave it back to him. And so he went and put it back in his mouth. And at the time, I think the words that came out of my mouth were something like, Emma, now! Because, you know, if I just call her name, then there's no... But there was tension in my voice. It might have been a little more panic than that. I don't know. I don't remember. But I look back now and I go, I was so cool and calm. But then I actually think about it. I go, no, I picked him upside down and no, it didn't come out. So I flicked him back up the other way and went, well... Because if it was still here, then you can get it out. But once it's down, then you don't tip him upside down because then you can do damage. And so tipped him up. No, that didn't work. And so then without going into the details, it then came out on a Tuesday. And but it's like when you look back at it, at the moment, things are a little different, right? It's like if you've ever had a near miss on the road. It's like at the time you're freaking out, the adrenaline kicks in and your body's pumping. But then when you look back at it after the fact and you're talking about it, that's why it's like, oh yeah, I was so chilled. Oh, that was easy. And so we've got this kind of tension when we read the text of the disciples and the followers of Jesus. And so looking through the story as it's depicted in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." And I kind of go, you know, after you've just gone through watching Jesus hang on a cross, the moment of what is going on, going through your head, 3 days later is not very long. 3 days later is an extremely short time period when something like that's just happened. And so then you've got them there, and why are you looking for the living among the dead? It's kind of picking up last month's theme of the curious. It's like that'd get you a little intrigued. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. So they've got the playbook written out. But it's one thing when you're living in the moment to live in the moment. It's another thing to go, let's just stay cool. We know exactly what to do. We know exactly what's happened. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all those others, to all the others. And so then the story goes through that lists who was there and the women that were there and a few other different things. And then there's a couple of them on their way to Emmaus. And they're walking along and suddenly another guy appears with them. And they're having a conversation and talking about life and what's going on and what's just been happening. And they haven't twigged. And so then they walk through their town and Jesus knows exactly what's going on. He knows they're going to stop here, but he continues to walk. as if to say, all right, well, thanks for the chat, guys. I'll keep going on my way. And they say, well, why don't you stop for a feed? And so Jesus says, perfect, thanks for asking, and stops for a feed. And it isn't until the moment that they sit at the table and Jesus takes over the show. Have you ever had someone come to your house for lunch, for dinner, for a meal, and they're a guest in your house, and when you sit down at the table, they get up, break the bread, or they get up, reach for the wine, pour the glass, or they get up and say, let's give thanks. It's like, it doesn't happen, right? The host is the one who breaks the bread or pours the wine or says grace, gives thanks. But Jesus just takes over. Jesus just, at the table, sits down, says, all right, breaks the bread and gives thanks. And at that moment, the penny drops on the inside. At that moment, they go, huh, I've seen this. I've seen this guy before. I recognize those words. I recognize that action. And so then they go and they tell the others. Said, pick it up in verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands, look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me, see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. So as I was reading this text during the week and thinking about what to share this morning, and I really felt Jesus comes and his first words to the disciples, his first words to those gathered with them, peace be with you. You know, I thought the world we're living in today, things happening, living in turmoil, living in stressful situations, living in a lot of the time situations that are of our own doing. But nonetheless, they're stressful when we're living in them and walking through them. Thinking, you know, what has Jesus come to bring? He's come to bring peace. He's come to bring peace. And so as I was reading this, yes, he's come to bring salvation. Yes, he's come to bring a whole bunch of things, but the number one thing that he says, the very first words, you want to know what's important to someone? The very first thing they talk about, that's what's going to be driving them. What does he say? Peace be with you. Jesus is about peace. And so this morning as we come around our Easter Sunday service and what's happening in our lives. You know, I really encourage you just to think about it and go, thank you, Jesus, for your peace in my life. You know, they were gathered around and everyone there, they were followers of Jesus. They were people that were mourning his death. They were people that were asking questions, what's going on? They were people that some had jobs, some didn't. They were people that some were married, some weren't. They were people that some had kids, some didn't. They were people that had big houses and little houses. People that had one pair of shoes and maybe no pair of shoes. People just like me. People just like you. Same issues. Same stress points. We package it up differently these days. If we don't have technology on us, or if we don't have a this or a that. But when I started thinking about it and looking through the things that are really important to me, the people gathered in this room, the people gathered with the disciples would have been facing the exact same things. They might not have had the latest iPhone on them. They might not have been sitting there tweeting about Jesus' resurrection. Like, imagine if it happened today. There'd be tweets tweeting around all over the place. It'd be just phenomenal to see how quick the news gets out. But no, people doubting, people believing, people trying to gather little side groups, trying to take over. I'm sure there would have been everything happening in that room. But you know, the thing that I love is that they were in that room. The thing that I love is that they weren't just scattered doing their own thing. They were together. So you've got the two guys on the way to Emmaus. They're not just, well, I'm going by myself, I need some time alone. They're going, no, they're doing life together. They're doing life going in the same direction. For what purpose? It doesn't say what purpose, it just says they were going along the road to Emmaus. So as I was reading, and I thought, you know, it doesn't matter where we're going. It doesn't matter what we're doing, as long as we're doing it together. See, the disciples, were they singing songs of worship, or were they shedding tears? Were they rejoicing, remembering the life of Jesus? Or are they starting to plan out where to go from now, what to do? I don't know. All I know is that it says they got up in verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. And so whatever you're going through this morning, whatever I'm going through this morning, I started thinking about it going, the best thing I can do, the best thing that you can do with whatever you're facing in 2018, the best thing you can do is don't do it alone. The best thing you can do is get around other people. See, because when we're together, Jesus rocks up. And when Jesus rocks up, what does he bring? He brings his peace. He brings his life. And so I just love that fact that we can be from different places as we are here today, from different journeys, different walks of life. There's people that live overseas. There's people that live interstate. There's people from all around our world in this room this morning. But by the sheer fact that we're together, I know that Jesus is bringing his peace. And so whatever circumstance you're going through, whatever it is that you're looking at, I know that his peace can rest in your heart. I know that his peace can come and settle on you afresh this morning. See, we don't need to have our lives together. We don't need to have made it to get Jesus. To get a promotion, we've got to tick boxes. To win a race, we've got to tick boxes. To buy a house, we've got to tick boxes. To buy groceries, you've got to tick boxes. You've got to have the right things. You've got to have the right money on you to get the right thing that you need. And there's an exchange, there's things that happen. To get Jesus' peace, what do you have to do? There's only one box to tick. A show up. Only one box to tick, and that is be together. See, I wrote this down. Unity equals peace. Unity equals peace. And as I thought about it, I thought, you know, that's not just in the context of we're gathered here today, but that can be at home. When I'm sitting on the couch by myself, when I'm standing there washing the dishes late at night, when I'm outside mowing the lawn, when I'm in my shed because I finally have a shed, just doing shed things. She's basically nothing, just standing and looking. How good is it? See, I can be together in that moment. I can be unified in my mind at that moment. And at that time, peace can come. Or I can be divided at that time by myself. See, the easiest way to bring unity is get around other people. Go, well, we're doing this thing together. Doesn't matter necessarily what it is. Don't go like robbing banks together and be like, we're unified, so the peace, that's not going to happen. I don't know, but don't try. It's not good. But it's like in my own mind. In a time when there's no one else around but me, am I at peace? And I guess as I was thinking about it, going, if you're not at peace, then get unified in your own head. Go, right, I'm doing this one thing. See, because we can make it all super spiro. We can make it all right out there and go, what's going on? Or we can just, as I like to say, we can dumb it down because I need to have it dumbed down. We can keep it simple and go, if I just focus on one thing, then I'm going to be much better off. And so the disciples were together. And just to prove his point that he wasn't a ghost, that he wasn't just a figment of their imagination, the end of verse 41, Jesus says to them, do you have anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you all while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And so he spells it out so simply. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. I'm going to send my peace. And so he does just that. They wait, and then we read in the book of Acts. How the Holy Spirit came and filled the room. But today there's one thing that I want you to walk out of here with, and that is unity equals peace. See, wherever you've gone at, however you've walked into this room this morning, my prayer this week, my prayer this morning, as we've been worshiping, as I've been preaching, my prayer this morning is that right now, at this point in the meeting, if it hasn't already happened, that you would feel, that you would experience his peace. That whatever life has thrown at you so far, right here, right now, no April Fool's jokes, Jesus is real. Jesus is risen. Since September 2002, I went on a youth camp and a meeting just like this, put my hand up at the end of it, responding to an altar call by a guy named Josh Kelsey, now has a church, I think it's thousands, in Brooklyn, in the US of A. He preached a message meant to be sent to be, don't be afraid of your destiny. It spoke to me. I responded at the end. I put my hand up. Two things happened that day. I felt his peace and I felt his power. So I'd love you to just close your eyes here in this meeting this morning. As we come to a close. See, I don't know about your past. And please don't take this the wrong way, but I don't want to know about your past. I don't need to know about your past. Because I know that this morning, there can be a line in the sand moment. Been talked about lots on the media again lately. But there can be a line in the sand moment for you and your life, just as I had in September 2002, where I slipped my hand up. See, if you've come in and you're going, I don't understand, I don't know what's going on, and there's thoughts, what's the purpose of my life? Where am I going? What am I doing? I thought I'd be here, but I'm there. Or I thought I'd be doing this, but I'm doing that. What's going on? See, all of that can pale into insignificance when we have a moment with Jesus and we experience his peace. It then becomes less about what we're doing and more about who we're doing it with. And so if you're sitting here this morning in this meeting, maybe you've never made a decision like this before. You've never had an opportunity potentially to make a decision like this before. Or maybe you've made the choice before. You've put your hand up in a meeting like this before. You've read the Bible in your bedroom at home before. You know, it's just life has got in the way. Turmoil has come back in. Distractions have come. Whatever's happened. I want to give you the opportunity right now to slip your hand up and say, John, that's me. I want to pray a prayer this morning with you. I want to invite Jesus. I want to get unified back with Jesus today. I want to experience his peace afresh in my life. If there's anyone here this morning that needs to do that, I'd love you to slip your hand up where you are. I'm not going to invite you out the front. I don't want to embarrass you in any way. I'd love to pray a prayer with you at the end of the meeting. But is there anyone here this morning that says, John, that's me. I need to do that. I want to make that decision today. Awesome, I see that hand. Is there anyone else here today that says, John, that's me? May have done it before. May have never responded to the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray your blessing on every person here this morning. God, I pray, Father, your peace over everyone in this auditorium. God, everybody that's gathered in this place from different walks of life, thinking different thoughts, doing different things, but God, together as we're unified purely by our location this morning, God, I pray that your peace would fill our hearts. God, for the young man who's just put his hand out and said, I want to come back to the Lord. God, I pray, Father, your peace would fill him afresh. God, that your love would fill his heart. And that, God, he'd power on for you into the future. In Jesus' awesome name. Amen.